He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and it is exciting times that we are living in. If you are watching the news, if you're a Christian, then you should be excited. If you are fearful, if you are scared, then you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Read His Word, and then you will understand that these times must come so that He can come and that we can be with Him throughout eternity. Thank you so much for joining with our broadcast. I want to offer you an invitation to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. That's hisgospelpower.org. But I would like to give you more training if you would like to get that. All you have to do is fill out your email on the front page there, and there's more training. I will put you on my email list. I will continuously be able to send you things, keep you updated on our ministry as we grow and as we minister to the world and minister to the lost around the world. I am so excited that you join with our ministry. And now let's hear this week's message.
Has God changed? Have things changed in our lifetime? Brother Bob, have things changed in your lifetime? You know, Brother Bob, you probably saw a few horse and buggies back in those days, didn't you? They were probably pretty common, weren't they? I mean, the cars were not even going that well. How old are you now, Brother Bob? 87 years old, 87 years ago, amen. 87 years ago, they probably were still, a lot of people I think probably still had horses and buggy, probably couldn't afford a car, could they?
Model T's.
Model T's, yeah. And then, of course, we've seen a lot of changes. Do you know, some of you youth, some of you kids, you know? Do you know, I remember... Does anybody know what Star Trek is? Do y'all know what Star Trek is? Okay, you know what Star Trek is. You see, you've even got to ask that these days, don't you? It's like, okay, that's pretty ancient. I remember Star Trek and looking at that 30 years ago in wonderment because they were walking to doors and the doors were opening automatically. And they were just walking right on through. And they were picking up things they called communicators, and they flipped them over, and Kirk's always made some kind of, you know, doot-doot-doot, and somebody picked it up on the other end. And sometimes the communicators they had, they could even see the person on the other end. And I used to sit there as a kid, and I said, you know what? Someday, we're going to see that. Little did I know. Brother Bob, you probably still remember reading Dick Tracy comic books. Dick Tracy, well, yeah, even I did that, or not comic books, it was in the newspaper, comic strips. I remember looking at that, and old Dick Tracy, boy, he'd pull out his watch, and he'd be talking to somebody, and there was a face on there or something. Remember when that was going to be? Now, I know you kids, you don't understand, and the Bible buddies have left, and of course, my young children... They just marvel when we tell them we didn't have computers or anything back then. You didn't. Well, what did you do? You didn't have any computers. How did that work? You know, I didn't get a color TV until I was 11 years old. I know. It was a hard life. It was a hard life. Do you know that most houses when I was 11 years old, only had one TV. Oh, sacrilege. How'd that work? You mean you had to share it? You had to all, you know, you had to kind of alternate what programs you're going to... Well, you had to alternate till Dad got home. And once Dad got home... Whatever. Whatever Dad wanted to watch. I was the channel changer. I was the remote. I was the remote. Boy, I'd be sitting there... Dad called me Ricky. Ricky, run over there and change it to channel 3 or whatever it was. I'd run over there, I'd change it. I'd sit back down and he'd watch it for a minute. He didn't like that. Or change it to channel 7 and I'd run over there. Turn, you know, it's not quite loud enough, turn the volume up. Or it's too loud, turn the volume. I was the remote. Probably because I was much like DJ and couldn't stay seated anyway. Have times changed? Boy, we have seen a lot of changes. But the most important part is, has God changed? The power of the Holy Spirit resides in us. That's something that we have to understand. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the power of the Holy Spirit resides in us to give us His power, to show us that He has not changed. He is the same. While Brother Bob has seen a lot of changes in his life, while we've seen a lot of changes in our life, while technology for the last 10 years just blows your mind. Now, we have our own communicator, and you can even, if you knew how to do it, you can even punch the buttons on this thing, and I can call my wife and I can look at her on the phone. I got my own communicator, just like Dick Tracy or Captain Kirk. I go to Walmart and I walk in the doors and guess what? They open automatically. In fact, you can start your car from inside the building. All of those, one of these days they'll probably even come and get you. It'll be like James Bond. You watch James Bond and he's sitting there driving that car. One of these days on our communicator here, you know, it's raining outside and we need our car to come around front here. So I'm going to be putting, just a second, I'll get the car. We see all of these marvelous things and these changes and everything, but all of these changes are not always good. In fact, a lot of times the changes that men do are bad changes. We can't make up our mind. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 16, 5 through 11 says, "Now I am going to Him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world of the guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in Me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see Me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." The prince of this world changes. He changes daily. He tells you something daily. He talks to you daily and changes whatever's on your mind. If you're doing what is right in the eyes of God, the one that comes against you tells you that you're not. He tries to make you guilty. But instead, Jesus died on the cross and He said that He went so that the evil one is convicted of sin. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me." Jesus had to leave so He could send a Counselor so that we could have power to walk the victorious life this year, this happy new year that everybody walks around. See, the world walks around, they say, "Happy New Year." And what they really mean is, "I hope this is better than the last one." They've got hope. But they've got hope in the wrong thing. They've got hope in the new year. They got hope in the government. They got hope in America. They got the hope the wars might stop. They've got hope that I might feel okay through the whole year. But you see, they placed their hope in the wrong place. Because there is no hope in a world that changes all the time. It's forever in flux. There is no hope. Because when the wars continue, and even if the war stops, that's worrying you the most today, there'll be another one coming, because God says that there will be. He gives us the power of His Holy Spirit to walk in the abundant life so that we will have hope in an Almighty God. To walk in His power. Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When does the Holy Spirit come on you? Is that some sort of a different experience? Do you get saved and then maybe a year you've prayed and you're working and you're doing all kinds of things trying to get the Holy Spirit to come on you? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When is that? When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you accept Him into your heart. You know that you are a changed person and the power of the Holy Spirit resides in you to help you to live the abundant life. And no matter what the stock market looks like, no matter the wars that you hear, no matter the health of your body, there is hope in Jesus Christ. But it's the hope that doesn't change. It's the hope that you can grab onto and know of His abundance that will pull you through whatever situation it is that you're going through today. Now, I want to caution some of you, because some of you out there saying, man, I am glad that I am not going through any struggles today. So this message is not for me. I'm doing well financially, my health is good, my family's good, everything's good. You're placing your hope in the wrong thing. You're placing your hope in your circumstances that are around you. You still must place your hope in Jesus Christ. What happens tomorrow when something happens that you weren't expecting? And they happen all the time. This is an ever-changing world. Brother Benny was sitting in the eating breakfast a month ago. And we were in fact, it was just about a month ago today, having a good old time. He was helping. He cooked. He helps us cook. He does a lot of things. Silent servant. He was over in the kitchen. He seemed just chipper as I've ever seen him. We were cooking and we were having fun. I joked about the Brother Ron wanting me to put some bacon grease in the gravy. I told, Brother Benny that y'all, they better watch it. We're putting bacon grease in this thing. It could be bad for you. Next thing you know, about 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't remember the time, I got a call. Brother Benny's in the hospital. Boy, that morning sermon could have been this one, and he's sitting there, man, I'm glad. We had the deacon ordination. Benny was on cloud 9. His son was getting ordained as deacon of this church. He was excited. And he could have been sitting back there saying, man, I'm glad, everything is just wonderful. But then what happened when his life changed? I'll tell you what happened. God didn't change. God still stood by him just in his bad time, just as he had in that good time. As Benny was praising the Lord that morning, he was praising the Lord that afternoon too as I stood at his bed. Because God came to meet him at that bed. Jesus came to the foot of his bed, laid his hands on his feet and said, you are going to be all right. We're going to have to hear a testimony about that soon, brother. We heard it this morning in the men's breakfast. I'd heard it at least once before. When something like that happens to you, you can't help not to say it. I mean, this is about the fourth time I've heard it. And I'd be worried if I hadn't. Something happens like that, it's life changing. Jesus comes to see you, puts his hand on your feet, says, you're going to be all right. He didn't even have to say anything. He didn't say that he said anything, and we'll let him get it out of the horse's mouth eventually. He gave him that peace. Because he was praying to God, and Jesus knew at that moment, you know what? I'm going to give you the strength that you need. God is never changing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What belongs to Christ belongs to us. That's the hope that we have this year. What belongs to Christ belongs to us. You see, we deny the power of God all of the time. Those prayers, those words, and the Word of God are not for me. They're for the first church. They're for someone else. They're not for me. They are for me. And they are for you. Jesus is giving us encouragement to have hope that what belongs to Christ belongs to us. John 16:12-15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. And now I'm telling you something right now today. I think I'm telling you almost more than you can bear. It must be because I talk to Christians today who do not believe or understand in the power of God. Someone, Benny, will talk to and say, Jesus was at the foot of my bed, and they will say, he was hallucinating. He was just seeing in his mind what he wanted to see. That's what they'll say. Because they don't understand the power of God. I dare say there will be someone in the church that will say that, because they do not understand that we belong to Christ and what Christ has belongs to us. And I can prove it in just a second. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from you what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs, listen here. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. This is Jesus talking. Just exactly at Matthew 28 when He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. That's Jesus said. He has the authority to declare this to you. What the Father has, it belongs to Me. It is Mine, as Jesus says. And that is why I said the Spirit will take from you what is Mine and make it known to you. Isaiah 50:11. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like spring whose waters never fail. Those words are for us. We are like a well-watered garden. I love talking to Brother John when he was talking about the scientists he was listening to one day, about the anomaly that we have just come through. Maybe, I don't know if it's the wettest December ever, but it was a wet December. Hallelujah. And the anomaly is, it's not supposed to do that. Scientists said it can't do that until about June. And I understand there's still a high pressure out there. It can't rain. It can't. It's impossible. Cannot rain. All this stuff we've been seeing, the water and everything, it didn't happen. It's impossible. See, that's man's thinking. God is unchanging, and He answered the prayers of Rockdale, Texas, and of Houston, Texas, and of Dallas, Texas. We are not the only city that has been praying for rain. There's others. Man, I see it on the internet all the time. I'm a member of the Houston Pastoral Council. I don't know how that happened, but I got it in there somehow. They just started shooting me an email. I never told them to stop, I guess. The greater Houston area, I think, Pastoral Council, and they shoot me emails all the time. I know that Houston has been praying for rain, because they tell me all the time. And so, science said an anomaly happened. I say God answered prayer. Because He tells us if we'll call out to Him, call out to His name, He will answer us and He will answer our prayers. Because He hears us and He loves us. We can see Jesus not through His power. John 16:16. In a little while you will see Me no more. We can see Jesus now through His power, I mean to say. In a little while you will see Me no more. And then after a little while you will see Me. There are some who say this was, of course, before Jesus was hung on the cross. There are some that say, well, He was talking to His disciples because He hung on the cross. He died. And they didn't see him for 3 days. And then after 3 days, he rose from the dead. And he came before him. And many say, well, see, that's what it means. That was already fulfilled. Jesus tells us that he was going to leave. He said, I must leave so I can send you a counselor, a guide to take you through this earth, this world, this life that you're in. I want to give you the abundant life if you will accept it. John 10:10. I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. He wants us to experience the abundance of life. And how can we do that? We see people daily that are miserable because they are looking at the circumstances. They're putting their hope in their bank account. They're putting their hope in the stock market. They're putting their hope in their job. They're putting their hope in the government to get us out of all this mess. They're putting their hope that the wars will stop. They're putting their hope into something that changes every single day. It is like a roller coaster. If you place your hope in that, you are going to go nuts. You get to looking at it and you think about it. It's like, man, it just blows my mind, boggles my mind. Man, there was a few, I don't know, it was about a year ago. I don't know if I should remind him about this. Brother Terry's going to get upset with me if I'm not careful. There was about last year, about this time, the stock market dropped 1,000 points. Boom! You remember that? It dropped 1,000 points. I was listening to it on the radio. In just a few minutes, I don't even know what happened. I don't guess anybody else does either. They say it was some sort of a glitch. But you're sitting there listening to the radios and boom! It was maybe a 600, 700, 800 points. It was a lot of points for a stock market dropping just like that. I was listening to it at the radio. I said, man, something's going on here. The stock market just dropped 200 points. No, 400, not 5, no, 700 points. I mean, it sounded like a football game. But the team got the fumble and they're running in the wrong direction. But then all of a sudden, oh, no, wait a minute. Now it's coming back. And now it's only six. Now it's fine. No, okay, everything's fine. Supposedly some billionaire pushed the wrong button or something. I don't know if I buy that, but that's okay. My point is that the world changes. And if you put your hope in the wrong thing, then you'll be in turmoil. So the world, he says, in a little while you will see me no more, but you will see me again. And I don't know about you, but I see him. I see him if I will look daily. Some days I get so busy and everything gets rocking and rolling. Sometimes, I'm sorry, Lord, but sometimes I forget to take a second and look for you. I do that. Brother Benny, you couldn't prove to him that we can't see him anymore. You'd be hard-pressed to do that. If we are Christians, if we have accepted Jesus into our heart, you could not convince me that Jesus is not alive and I see him. I see him in the rain, in this anomaly. I see him in the fact that we are being blessed in this church with our finances. Are we running a little bit struggles? Yes, we are. But you know what? God has sustained this church when other churches are having extreme trouble, wondering how they are absolutely going to pay the lights. God has increased us, has increased people coming, has increased our budget, has increased money coming because we're looking at God and not at the bank account. We're looking to the hope in Jesus Christ. We see God in the loving faces that I see on Sunday mornings as I see you when I can't hardly get you to shut up so we can pray to God. When you're greeting each other. What a wonderful problem to have. Do you know that there are some churches, if you had a meet and greet, you better do it quick. Because there ain't nobody going to go. Maybe they'll turn to their husband maybe not. I don't say maybe they'll turn to their husband or their wife, but maybe not even that. Hey, how you doing this morning? You know. Man, this loving body of believers, when we turn you loose to say, go greet somebody, see, that's a dangerous thing. We may never get the service going again. That's an exciting thing. Because the hope of Jesus Christ resides in us. It doesn't reside in anything that we see going on. It doesn't matter whether it's sunny or whether it's raining or even whether it's dry outside or whether it's wet. We praise the Lord for the rain. But your faces were just as smiling when it wasn't raining. You were just as loving and you cared just as much about the other when it was not raining. He said, in a little while you will see me no more. Then after a little while you will see me. He has raised from the dead. And Acts 1:8, just as it says, we will receive power. We see Jesus with our spiritual eyes. They are wide open to the love that He has for us. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 through 5. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you. Because, now, ladies, I know that you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Maybe some of you young ones might. When he says brothers, he's not only talking to the men. He's talking to the brethren. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the believers in the church. God has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with His words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You see, the gospel is not simply words, but it is seeing God at work with our eyes. I think sometimes with our physical eyes, as we've prayed for people and we see them healed. But our spiritual eyes in times of turmoil and in struggle, because the conclusion is that God has not changed. He has given us the blessed hope, who is Jesus Christ. He has given us Jesus to guide us through all of this junk. And all we've got to do is stand behind Him. We've got to walk in His steps. That's all we have to do. That's all He asks that we do. He's going to defeat everything in front of us. He will help you to succeed in whatever it is that you are doing for His glory, as long as you stay behind Him. Don't get in front of Him. Don't even get alongside of Him. Grab a hold of that coattail. Boy, you ever seen some of those running backs? Man, this is just football season just about over. Some of those guys, you can just see them. They grab a hold of that lineman and they just hang on. He'll catapult them out of the way of whoever it is and they make the touchdown. Jesus Christ is that person that walks in front of you and makes sure that you succeed in life. See Him with your eyes. Because He hasn't changed. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a promise. Jesus Christ is the same. He has told us in the first century that we can see Him. We know in the 21st century that we can see Him still. Because He has not changed. He didn't just make it for the first church, or the second, or the third. I don't know how many churches there are in the middle there, but we are a long ways up. 21, I guess. 21st century church. Allow God, turn to Him first. Don't turn to your banker first. Don't turn to your bank account first. Don't turn to your doctor first. God has not changed. Go to Him today.
Thank you for joining with us on this segment of His Gospel Power. I'm Rick Hurtless. This is a listener-supported ministry, so I'm asking for your help. You could help in many ways. You could go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. If you just type in Rick Hurtless, you can take a look at the different books that I offer. My latest book is True Freedom. And, of course, you can go to my website, hisgospelpower.org, hisgospelpower.org, and there is a donate button on that website. You can click on that website. You can make a donation that way. Or if you would just like to mail it the old-fashioned way, mail your checks to P.O. Box 1569, P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And I would appreciate your help in this matter, and in fact with any future support that you would like to give to this radio ministry. If it is blessing you, if you are hearing the Word of God and you are being fed on this radio broadcast, it would be my honor to accept your donation so that I might keep bringing it to you.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.